Quickly the days that are numbered pass by. So quickly the days of God's judgment draw nigh. The healers of danger we're living today. God's love and mercy we're throwing away. Men are so busy with worldly achievement. The mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in his heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God.
Well, he warned them of the danger that lie in their path,
but they heed not his mercy and they kindle his wrath.
Pleasures of this world is their only care,
for where you have pleasure, your hearts will be there. Men are so busy with worldly achievements, the mercy of Jesus they daily don't trust. God in his heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that his kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold?
So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day,
when fire and greedy will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievements, the mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in his heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. He said that his kingdom was not of this world. So what is the profit of silver and gold? So cheap it will seem on that great judgment day, when fire and gravy will melt it away. Men are so busy with worldly achievement, the mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in his heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. Men are so busy with worldly achievement, the mercies of Jesus they daily downtrod. God in his heaven must look down in pity for those who so carelessly forgotten their God. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Yes, in the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earnestly, tender, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercy? Mercy's for you and for me. Come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing for you and for me. Shadows are gathering, the night is coming, coming for you and for me. Come home. You are weary, come all earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home, you are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home, come home, come home, you are weary, come home, earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Yeah, I guess if we were to be doing this, it wouldn't get done, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a very attractive message. It's not an attractive job that you and I have. Believe you me, there's nobody out there that'll do what we're doing. People make mockery of it, but to us it's good stuff.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. When that happens, we'll have no regrets, see? Mm-hmm. But to get there, that's the big thing.
Yeah, it is.
He's got to carry a lot of humiliation and mockery and all that goes with it. But you got to look at the end picture. What's it going to be like over there when, for those people that have not done whatever needs to be done?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, they just pack it in.
Forever shame. But they're being intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're being intimidated that this Jesus guy is something to be ashamed of. Well, go fly a kite. Not on our chapter, not on our watch. We found out that therein is peace and safety, everything that goes with it. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence once again, give you thanks for another day of life. Just pray, Lord,
We'll never take things for granted, Lord, but we'll always be mindful and for what about your care and your keeping, Lord. And may you just take care of us, Lord, against all odds, Lord. You just come down and you just do everything, you give us everything we need for daily living, Lord. We just, you've just done so much for us, Lord, just too numerous to mention. But we just pray you just help us say the things you put on our heart. Help us say them in such a way that it'll be salty. And exactly the way you want it being said, Lord. We know the day and hour we have to be very, very outspoken because we're living in a day and hour where everything is compromised. And we just want to be made sure that we'd be found faithful to do what you want us to do. To do what you put us down here on earth to do, Lord. Just pray you'd continue to lead and guide us by your Spirit, Lord. May Lord, most of all, you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Like I say, we don't do what we're doing. It's not just not going to get done. Because it's not a very attractive message what we're doing, what we're saying. You know what that is in Daniel about that
Daniel 12.
Daniel 12, verse 3. And they that shall be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And here's the scripture. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. That's what I want to talk about today because I remember back when I was still in the colony, I used to read these scriptures. I loved to read Daniel, Ezekiel and Revelation. Of course, I didn't know what I was talking about. What I was reading, to me, it was a lot of... But I enjoy reading it for some reason. And then when I came to that scripture here, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars, they will shine as the stars forever and ever. And I thought, wait, man, that is way beyond my pedigree. I can't even dream about leading many to righteousness, that's for some special person. That was way beyond reach, you know. It's just for somebody that special, some great guy, some great preacher or something. That lead many to righteousness, that's the star forever and ever. Und die viele zu Gerechtigkeit weisen, werden leichten wie die Sterne immer und ewiglich. Like, imagine. Oh, man, imagine having that promise that if you turn many to righteousness, you'll be shining like the stars throughout eternity, forever and ever. Well, like I say, that was too much for me to even dream about. That's for these big falloon people but you know, as I was being led and guided, I didn't realize that one day I will not only be doing that, I'll be coaching people to do that very thing. And I couldn't even imagine that I would be even counted worthy to be qualified to be like a star forever and ever. And like I say, here, you and I, we're coaching people how they can do this very thing. And it's so simple that even the child can understand it. They that lead many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And like I say, it was beyond my reach. It was beyond my pedigree. It was beyond my even, I would dare not even dream about ever doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Let alone now, like I was thinking yesterday, here we're not only doing it, we're coaching people how they can do it. And the only righteousness, if you've been listening to us for any length of time, the only righteousness before God is the message for your day, to believe. Simply believe the message for your day. And if you can go out there and tell somebody that this is that, then you are going to shine like the star forever and ever via this here scripture. Like I say, to me, when I read it years ago, I thought, man, I sure love to meet somebody that I could put that thing on there, that he will shine like the star forever and ever. And here it's right within our grasp. And here what got me on this thing, you got an email from somebody. This guy, he wanted to put it, what did he say? wanted to put us on his mailing list or something.
He wanted us to put him on his podcast list.
So he wanted us, and then he got this information. I think he got it from your sister or something. He said, anyway, that's what he said.
And he got it from Derek.
Oh, and I thought to myself, there's a guy that is going to shine like the stars throughout eternity simply because he has led that man to righteousness. Mm-hmm. Just that simple. How simple can I get? He has directed that person to the righteousness for his hour, mm-hmm. for his day, and it's mm-hmm. simply the message for your day. It has always been. That's how simple it is.
That's right. When you will look at self-righteousness, when you compare self-righteousness to the righteousness for your day and hour, see, then there's always competition. Who can have the longest beard? Who has the blackest coat? Who can walk the most holiest? There's always a competition of who can be more self-righteous.
Yeah.
See, that is a carnality. But the righteousness for your day and hour. You lead them to the righteousness of your day and hour, to the truth for your day and hour. And that will make a person to shine. All it is what God is doing.
Yeah, when I read that like 8 years ago, and here as we're journeying along, see, this is life eternal that they believe on them whom God has sent. This is life eternal that they believe on them whom I will send. This is eternal life that they get, that they know God and Jesus Christ to be sent. Eternal life is nothing going out there wearing a certain dress code mm-hmm. or having a head covering or that thing that these Arab women wear, that, what do you call it, that stupid thing where they just got the eyes looking out. Religion will always try to put a load on a woman,
bondage,
you know,
yeah.
A bondage on a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you can't do that, then they'll get them to wear a head covering. The Bible very plainly says that your hair has been given to you as a covering. Back in the day, they used to worship this god as Diana, and we said it over and over again, and then they shaved their heads off because on a statue, I seen it on a statue, where this goddess was having her head shaved off, and they got some statues of her with it. So the women, you know how women are, they want to use a role model. So they used that as a role model, and what they would do, they would shave their head off.
Mm-hmm.
And they got converted to Christianity, and it was it bothered Paul to see that. They come mm-hmm. to church where their head shaved off because they just come out of this paganism thing. And then he told them to put something on their head, their bald head, their shaved off head, until, it's that word that way, but you just got to use common sense. Why did he say that? Why would he contradict himself? Because later on he said, your hair had been given to you and not covered. So these religionists and these self-righteous people and these forms of godliness, what they do, they put a head covering on a woman and think therein lays their righteousness. Well, it's a stench in the eyes of God, just as it was a stench in Paul's eyes when they had their head shaved off. And here all it is simply, until your hair goes up, then your hair has been given to you as a covering. But you see, religion always wants to put a burden on a woman, mm-hmm. you know, and just make it hard for them. And let's see, we're trying to set the record straight. We're trying to say things how simple it is. It's just a very simple program. And all you got to do, follow the scripture. Like I say, this thing that we're doing, it is, when you compare it with how people are mocking us, you know, and it's so far from the mainstream media,
mm-hmm.
what you and I are doing, that the only thing they do, if they think they have the rights to mock us, you know, because mm-hmm. that's all they can do. That's all they can do with Noah. Noah, he was kind of an oddball back in the day. He would, all of a sudden, there's no boats around it because there was no pond, there was no ocean, there was no sea, and it didn't rain. And here Noah goes out there on top of the hill and starts building a boat completely contrary to the norm, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing they could do, they could mock him, that's it. And here's the same thing, they mock him. But see, when I saw that, when he told me about this guy, wanted to put them on his list, you know, so he can listen to what we have to say. And believe you me, we're not doing the wrong thing here. We're just doing what the Lord directs us to do. And sometimes we get an email sometimes, and then the Lord wants us to talk about that thing. And here, this guy, your sister, your brother-in-law, whoever it was, advised this guy that, hey, here's something that's worth listening to. And what he's going to, according to the scripture now, not according to what I see, according to the scriptures, he's going to shine like the stars forever and ever simply because he did the only thing that he knew to do. He directed that man towards the righteousness for his day, and the righteousness for his day is the message for his day. And you and I just happen to be found worthy by that eternal spirit to do what we're doing, to be found faithful to deliver that meat in due season for the day and hour that we're living in. Because it says, who is then that? Believe you me, we were all being tested. Everyone that was under the umbrella of Brother Jackson, and all that mishmash, what's going on when Brother Jackson left the scene, when the Lord took him off the scene, all of a sudden, man, I thought it'd be business like usual. And here, the very person that we looked up to, James Allen, he comes out like a stupid thing and tells us we're the third day. And when you and I, we were, like I say, we were all our life, we were in the Bible, and then we were taught by Brother Branham and Brother Jackson that the third day is the millennium, you know, that there's 2 days of Isaiah, and then it goes into the third day. That the third day is the millennium, that's just coming up the road here, where Jesus comes down and rules and reigns for 1,000 years. We're telling people the truth. Now here, we've been found faithful after all that smear that we had to go through, all the division, all the separation, everybody and their dog came out with a certain teaching, and they thought we should just follow them. Like this one guy said, he came out, we were after 2 days, I called him up, I said, I can go along with that. Well, he said, you'll have to believe somebody. Well, I'm not going to believe something that's not true. And I separated with him, and I parted with him, and I haven't talked with him since, because there's nothing there to talk about, because he's trying to tell me we're after 2 days. It's just even worse than saying we're in a third day. And then little did we know what's going on here. It was all along, it was the Lord testing us. He watches, he's like the psalm says, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Jesus was watching what everybody's going to do, what everybody's going to say, what everybody's going to believe. Know what you believe and know why you believe it. And here, without even knowing it, you and I were found faithful to deliver that meat in due season, to roll out that living water. And here, the Lord has found us faithful to do this very thing that you and I are doing, because this is the last chapter of mankind before you're going to have to give your life. This is it. This is that last invitation to the marriage of the Lamb. And after that, they go into something. You don't even want your worst enemy to be in that thing that's coming up the road here. That's why we put all our resources, everything that we say and do is for simply to warn people that this is that. This is that living water. This is that last message. And like I say, this guy, whoever it was, is, I think he was your brother, like I say, and he's going to shine like the stars forever and ever. It's hard to believe that it's so simple. Yeah, you simply have to do is tell somebody, like it says, that him that is a thirsty come, and let him that is just anybody, just go tell him, come and see, this is that. And that's all as simple as I can put it. That's the only job that Scripture did. That we have is just put this thing out there and tell people of the message that we're, the time and hour we're living in. Everything that we say is true here. It might not be, like I've said before, time and time again, that rapture will not be when I thought it'll be. But it will. But before that rapture can be, and I have kept saying that over and over, first these two witnesses in Israel have got to be killed, because that man of sin has to be revealed. And he is being revealed by killing these two witnesses. And you and I, we know it's the Pope of Rome, but that Pope that's going to give orders, he's not going to kill him himself. He's just going to give orders to go kill him. We're, like I say, we're living in a very exciting time. And here, This thing is so simple. Those that have led many to righteousness, those that have directed these people, hey, this is that. Here is a message that you can put your trust in. Here is the end time message, and all you got to do is direct them towards it, and then automatically, well, according to the scripture now, and according to what I think, this individual is going to shine like the stars forever and ever.
And righteousness is not what people think it is. People think they have to perform something in order to please God. But we know what it says in Hebrews. It says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted him for righteousness. What he believed God and he put some action to what he believed. He was able to start his journey out of the land of Ur, and that's because he believed God. Mm-hmm. If he would not have believed this is God that was speaking to him to get up out of the land of the Chaldeans into a land that he will show you him, then he would have just stayed there with these idol worshiping people, these pagans. But he heard the voice of God and he believed it and he ventured out, and that was counted for him for righteousness, and because he believed God. And when you will go throughout the church ages, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. We are to seek the kingdom of God, which is the salvation.
The born again experience.
That salvation experience that God has given us in this grace age. And then it says, and his righteousness. Whose righteousness is God? What he has for your day and hour. That's why when Jesus went over the parable, he said, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened. That is the king, the righteousness for your day and hour. And in our Laodicea church age, it was the ministry of Brother Branham. He was that righteousness, that message that was the righteousness. His message that he brought was the righteousness for the day and hour. Why? It is because that message that he brought was a clothing for the righteousness that would be present us before God, and we would be clothed. Mm-hmm. With a cloth, we would have something on. We would not be naked. Like when you will watch all these mega ministries, like I was listening to a clip the other day that Derek Prince, he was in a way very, when he talked about Brother Branham, and in his voice you could sense almost like an animosity towards Brother Branham. He was trying to make Brother Branham look bad, and that's what the devil does. He wants to make Brother Branham look bad, so no, people don't come to the righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all designed. That's why Brother Jackson was made bad, so that people could not come to that righteousness. And that's the same way with us. People like to make us look bad because the devil does not want people to come to the righteousness that God has for the day and hour. Because I know what he spoke to me when he said that he wanted us to continue with this message, to preserve it. Because that is the righteousness for this day and hour. And when people believe it, they will have at least a clothing on. They won't stand before God naked. And that's what will make them shine. Because they not only believed it, but they led other people to that righteousness.
See, for the church age of Laodicea, where these preachers out there, they don't even know about the church ages. They won't even tell their people. But for the church age of Laodicea, that's the hour that we're now living in, there is only one message to preach in the last 100 years, and that is the simple fact that God sent the prophet. Malachi 4, you'll go read it. Behold, I'll send Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So in the church age of Laodicea, which, like I say, we're living in the church age of Laodicea, there are 7 church ages. From under the grace age, there are 7 church ages, and we happen to be in the last one. And now what, for the church age of Laodicea,
it is. There is only one message for any preacher. I don't care how long a beard he has. I don't care how many millions of people he's got or his watch. There is only one message, and that is the fact that God did set the prophet William Marion Brown. And when he goes off the scene, that thing ended, and now he took on the local court to Raymond M. Jackson, and now the righteousness for your day and hour is the ministry of Raymond M. Jackson, and all you and I have to do is believe it. And we believed it. When I got introduced to the ministry of William Brennan, I believed it. And then when the Lord took him off the scene, and I believed it, it was Raymond M. Jackson. And now Raymond M. Jackson is gone, and then, like I say, we were being tested. Who is going to be then that faithful and wise servant that the Lord can trust? The Lord God of heaven was watching everything, and he was looking for somebody that he can trust to be found faithful with that word. It's not that we're such a holy people, but when it comes to that word, you better not try to change it or try to veer it off or tell me something that's not true, because I'm not going to buy into it. In the meantime, God was watching the great eternal spirit. He was watching what everybody was doing, and he found you and I faithful and true to deliver, to do exactly what we're doing here. And now all the people have to do is believe what we're saying, and then what they do, all they have to do is tell somebody else, and then they'll shine like the stars forever and ever. Like back in the day, I think it was 2014 or something, when we got an email from that Matthew Cox, and he said, I've been looking for truth for 10 years, ever since Brother Jackson passed away, I've been looking for truth, and the Lord gave me a dream. He said, I'll show you tomorrow where the truth is. And here, lo and behold, he goes on his computer the next day, and he finds our website. And then he sent us an email, told us exactly what I'm telling you here. And then he said, I know a lot of Amish people, and I'm going to present them with this truth. But see, what happened is, I guess we said some things that didn't fit the narrative. There was no room here for that apostle that he thought he called out to be. And pretty soon he gets turned off from the things we're saying, because, like I say, it didn't fit his narrative. It didn't fit his idea. And then next thing I know, he's down at Fred Cormier. It's the worst place he could go to. And the next thing I know, he's homeless. And next thing I know, he's living in a warehouse somewhere in some old mattress. And then the next thing I know, the Lord gave us the scripture. He has left the fountain of living water. He has left where he had it. He had the truth for his day. What does he do? He goes to a hewn-out cistern. That's exactly the scripture that the Lord gave us. He has left the fountain of living water. This is that fountain of living water. I shouldn't be having to be the one to say it, but it's the truth. It's something that the scripture that the Lord gave us when we found out that man went down to Fred Corbier, and now he's living in the shack, and now we've lost contact. He's probably dead by now, simply because he left the fountain of living water and he went to these hewn-out cisterns, and before you know it, he lost everything he ever had. And I thought to myself, look at all these people that he could have directed, because he was living down in Kentucky, down in Amish country. And he says, I know a lot of Amish people. I have a lot to do with them. Well, imagine what that man could have done if he would have told that, directed those Amish people, hey, look, take a look at this. If he would have just directed them to that. And I thought to myself, what a waste of life. Now he's probably dead, like I say. He was homeless, lost his family and everything, and simply because he had his idea about how he's going to work.
I mean, that's why people, they can't endure. See, that requires endurance. Once you come to the righteousness for your day and hour, the devil will try everything he can to take it away from you. And that's where endurance come in, and steadfastness, because where else are you going to be? See, when I listen to these ministers out there, these mega church ministers that have these big followers, in the end, they really never give you anything. When you listen to the message of Brother Brenham, there's always something that you can learn and apply to your life. And then Brother Jackson the same way, because they went to the Word of God and brought out all these truths that were hidden there. Like all the truths that we are building on were from the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson, we're just building on that foundation that they presented. We're not starting something new. It's just a continuation of what God has been doing. And that's why when you listen to these preachers out there, they really have nothing to give to people.
Mm-hmm. Even the people that are the Brenhamites, you know, that are living under the umbrella of Brother Brenham, they haven't moved on. And they can't tell you nothing, because I visited with them sometimes, and you can't really talk about nothing that Brother Jackson brought us. And, and here they're still living prior to 1965. And then here you are visiting with them, and there's nothing you can talk when. The minute you talk about the prehistoric, the things that Brother Jacob brought, they kind of look at you kind of strange.
That's right, and like, the New Jerusalem and all these things, because Brother Brenham had some things that he was not given. Like, he only had glimpses of it because it was so far off. But once you come nearer, God was restoring more of the truths that were in the Bible through the ministry of Brother Jackson. He was able to bring them out, like the New Jerusalem and other topics that Brother Jackson, Brother Brenham sometimes mentioned, but he did not see the picture right. The New Jerusalem, for example, and other things. But that's why you can't really talk in the sense of the things that what God continued on. They just stopped where Brother Brenham left off, and that's it. And neither do they want to open up their minds and go there. They have closed, totally shut off from there, and will not venture any inch further.
And now the Jacksonites, they're doing even worse, because once Brother Jackson left, everybody thought they got a revelation. We're in the third day, and then on this group thought to get a revelation, we're after 2 days, and all it was the devil trying to give him a false revelation. And we're just waiting here. Then the Lord gives you and I the revelation of the thunders, and then he gives you and I the revelation of that midnight cry. If you don't have that midnight cry, and the minute I tried to present it to them down there, the Jacksonites, the minute I tried to present, they shut it off. They shut that whole song service off, simply because I was trying to explain to them about that midnight cry happening in 63. And then once you know that midnight cry, you can tell exactly what hour and day we're living in. See, Brother Jackson never knew that. Brother Jackson just said 2004 and a half, if the calendar is right. He could not pinpoint that the calendar is out exactly 17 years. But the Lord, once Brother Jackson went out to see, the Lord began to work with you and I. And here, lo and behold, He gave us that midnight cry revelation, simply because he found us faithful and true. Who is then that faithful and wise servant that will that the Lord has found word to deliver me to do? See, Brother Jackson never knew about that midnight cry. He read it and he read it. And he said, like I say, he said 2004 and a half, if the calendar's right. Well, once we got into it, once the Lord found us faithful, and we continue now to build on the things that Brother Branham, and to build on the things that Brother Jackson left. But there's a lot of things that Brother Jackson never touched on. He never touched on the fact that back at about those angels in Jude, and he never touched on the fact that there were two eyes angels back then, that these angels in Jude get tested, and then the whole planet was destroyed, and then he started again, and then he tested the morning star. Brother Jackson never mentioned anything about that. There's a lot of things that Brother Jackson never saw in the scripture, but we continue on to build on the things that he did bring in. Who is then that scribe that'll take out of his storehouse old things and new? That's exactly what Brother Jackson's ministry was. He took out of the Bible old things and new things that were in there, but they were never even mentioned. Like I say, the prehistoric hour where these angels got tested and Lucifer got tested, but he didn't emphasize on these angels and Jude. He didn't separate. He had them in the same pocket with Lucifer. And here the Lord, lo and behold, he brings you and I on board to continue on the work. We're not doing something new. We're just continuing on the work that was established to the ministry of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson. And it runs true to form when you ask the Lord, Lord, why did you put us together? Ever since you put us together, we've been nothing but terrorized, persecuted, shunned, done everything under the sun, called us everything they could think about. And he came and told you
reason he did that was to preserve this truth, and that's what we did. We preserved the truth of Brother Branham and its rightful place. There's a lot of things Brother Branham said that's not going to happen, just because he can't. He gave you two line of thoughts, you know, and along comes Brother Jackson, and now we're preserving what Brother Jackson brought, and now we're continuing on, just continuing on what these two people brought us, what these two ministries brought us. Because other than that, there's no use listening to anybody in the church age of leadership, because it's Brother Branham, and then Brother Jackson, and then here, you and I, found faithful by God, and now we're finishing it off. And all the things we have left, whosoever will, let him come and drink out of the waters of life. That's that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's all that's left. The baptism in Jesus' name is overdone. And all you simply have to do is go and tell. Let him that is athirst say, come. When you analyze that, where it says, let him that is athirst say, come. You got somebody out there that goes and tells the neighbor, that goes and tells their friend, that goes and tells their family, hey, this is that. And if they can do that, they, according to the scripture now, not what I say, if they can do that, they will shine like the star throughout eternity. Imagine being in that company that you will shine like the star forever and ever. It's too simple to even grasp. It takes a couple of days to be able to digest it. That simple. You got to be so simple-minded that you can actually come to a place where you can actually believe it. That if you go tell somebody, hey, this is that, then you will shine like the star. Throughout eternity, it says, forever and ever.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And like you said about the angels in Jude and Lucifer, there's two separate judgment that happened there, because when you will read Isaiah, you can see that there was already subjects in hell, because it said hell beneath was stirred up at his coming, and they were.
That's about Lucifer.
Yes, and Lucifer came down, and they asked him, "Have you become weak as we?" See, when a person leaves their estate, their calling that God has on their lives, then they become weak, because it's that anointing from God that keeps things going and fresh every day, and keeps you at a place where you can
bring a revelation.
Yes, and when a person falls from his estate and goes out and decides he's going to do his own thing, that anointing leaves, because if God is not going to be the one directing you, then that anointing goes, and then people go about and do their own things. And that's what you see with a lot of people out there. They do their own things, and at the end, they're not going to have anything, because they're not going according to what God has created for them to do. Instead, they decide, I'm going to make a name for myself. And in the end, they're not going to have anything. You're only going to have something to show in eternity when you follow the inspiration of God. Otherwise, you're weak and you have nothing.
See, what the devil does, he's like you were saying earlier, he's trying to make us look bad. Like the people that we associated with over the years, the people that we fellowship with, they got one mission, they got one agenda from Satan. Not from God, from Satan, to make you and I look bad, to make it appear that you and I are shaking up, to make it appear that this is a shaking up, thereby they make us look bad, like that kind of. He drove with me for 3 years, and he knew what I was about, and you were down at his place for a year, and he knew what you were about, and here, lo and behold, the Lord gets me invite you to come along, truck with me. What does he do? He goes down to those windy bays. He couldn't wait to get down there. And all of a sudden, they turn against me, because I knew them from before. And here he goes down and tells them that he doesn't go to church with me anymore, because I'm shaking up with you. Makes it appear like this is a shaking up program. And that's what everybody that we associate, that Randy, he can't wait to make us look bad. All these people, and then that Leonard up from Calgary, I didn't know that. I just found that out here a week ago. He goes around and tells bad stuff about us and lies up things that are completely not true. And like they're on a mission from Satan to make us look bad. And now here, this one guy, he goes and tells his friend or his neighbor or whoever it was that this is that. You see the contrast between the two? This guy makes it look good, and these guys, they can't wait to make it look bad. And now here, because this guy, he did the right thing, and he directed that man to the living water, and he's going to shine throughout eternity, forever and ever. And these other people, they're going out to hell and death, because there's nothing left for them. I'm not being judgmental. I'm just saying it the way it is, the way the scripture says it. You're going to either shine or you're not going to shine. You're either going to be a positive force or you're going to be a negative force. It's really not out, that's out of our control. We could just do what we're doing here on a day-to-day basis. Put something out there. Now, today we just happened to get this email, and then we just happened to elaborate a little bit on it. Because the Lord was dealing with me throughout the night. That they will shine like the stars forever and ever. And like I say, I remember back in the day when I was growing up, I used to read that thing. Oh, man, that's way beyond my reach. I couldn't even dream about being one of those people that will shine forever and ever. Now, here, we'll be qualified if we're faithful to the end. We still got to endure. We still don't have a guarantee that we'll make it. That's why I have to endure to the end. I have to be allowed the Lord to lead and guide me by His Spirit, so that eventually I will be found faithful towards the end. And that's what we're doing here on a day-to-day basis, trying to put something out for people that they can, that'll be a benefit for their eternal destiny. Because that's the only thing that's left. You can go out there and try. You're not going to find nothing. Like I say, the only thing in this Laodicea church age is to minister Brother Branham, and from there it's the ministry of Raymond M. Jackson. And that's it. And if you can, and now here, it's easy. God does things in truth. He's using you and I to finish off the program. Then that will be the end of Laodicea. Then you get raptured. Laodicea gets raptured. Those that are found faithful, and the bride gets raptured, and the visitors. I don't know exactly how things are going to work, but I know the Bible is true. You can put your trust in the Bible. It's going to happen exactly the way the Bible says. And after that, blessed is he that dies in the Lord and from henceforth. And that's the end of the 6,000 years of Satan. And then Jesus comes down, and then it's the wrath of the Lamb, the day of the Lord. That's the wrath of the Lamb, where the planet will reel to and fro like a drunk man. And then after 30 days, he separates the goats and the sheep. And then after 45 days, the millennium sets in. It's a simple program, and it's laid out in the book of Revelation, and throughout Daniel, and throughout the scriptures. It's laid out there. All we're doing, we're reading the blueprint. That's all we're doing. We're just following that string. We're not thinking up nothing new. We're not bringing in a new idea. We're building on the foundation of the apostle, the prophet, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And then he brings in this prophet here at his last time and his last day, and Malachi 4. Behold, I said Elijah the prophet. And then he goes off to see. Then he builds on that scribe. It's all in the scripture. And now here we're just finishing it off. And whoever can believe what we're saying, well, to be part of that nucleus of people that's going to shine like the stars forever and ever. He's going to be part of that nucleus of people that's going to be at the marriage table and the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's just that simple. You and I, to you, it's simpler than that building, looking at that building across the street there. Just as clear and crisp. Oh, pretty.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, give you thanks for another day of life. Help us to walk before you humbly, so that we can hear your voice, to be led and guided by your Spirit. We just pray that you'll open up people's understanding, what you require of them and what your righteousness is. So we just give you thanks and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.